Before we start today's show, we want to let you guys know about our sponsor. Are you tired of the stress and hassle of tax preparation? Well, look no further. The experienced tax consultants at Cambryce Tax Consultants are here to help you navigate the complex world of taxes. They offer expert tax preparation services for individuals, small businesses, and real estate investors. From maximizing your deductions to minimizing your tax liability, they have got your back like chiropractic. Don't wait until the last minute. Call them today and let them take care of all of your tax needs. You can contact them at 901-605-4925. Again, that's 901-605-4925. Or you can visit their website at www.cambrycetaxconsulting.com. Again, the website is www.cambrycetaxconsulting.com for more information. Trust them to handle all of your tax needs so you can focus on what really matters. Cambryce Tax Consulting. Now, to the show. You could be anywhere doing anything, but you're hanging out with us, and we appreciate that. So wherever you're listening and however you're listening, we appreciate you guys for listening. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a live edition of the Game Plan Podcast. Alex Goodwin is my name. You can follow me on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. Again, that's on Twitter at Alex Goodwin TSM. That's T as in Timberwolves, S as in San Antonio Spurs, M as in Dallas Mavericks. Kennedy Miller, my boy.
What's going on? What's going on?
Where can the folks find you on Twitter, dog?
You can find me on Twitter at underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. Again, that's underscore Kennedy Miller underscore. Alex, real quick, I wish we had, like, I was just at the Final Four, right? And, like, they had, you know, it used to be coaches walking around with resumes trying to get jobs and stuff. So they got their phone numbers and stuff or business cards. And so, like, I'm walking around, I'm like, hey, coach, how you doing? You know, let me get your phone number. Dude had a wrist, a barcode on his wrist. I was like, just scan my wrist.
What?
He didn't even scan. He put his wrist. He had a bracelet. He put it on the back of my phone. All of his information came up. Twitter, Instagram, phone number, all the picture of him, all that stuff. We got to upgrade, man.
Hey, man, we really do. I think anybody out there that wants to be our social media manager, you know, be our sound engineer, recording engineer, we are taking applications. We can't pay you, but this will be like, you know, one of them college internships. It'll look good on your resume.
If we make it, then you make it too.
See,
you're banking on that though.
Hey, we putting folks on. So once again, folks, put your questions or your comments in the chat. You never know. We might just read your comments live out here on the show. We're here to talk about, it's the most wonderful time of the year, Kennedy Miller. It is NBA playoff time. I'm excited. You're excited. And you're not just excited. You're high on that heroin, that Lakers heroin. Okay, Kennedy Miller, I'm going to start calling you Bubs, like Bubbles from The Wire, okay? Because they, look, ain't no baking soda in there, Kennedy Miller. It ain't stepped on, is it? You got that size 34 belt wrapped around your elbow, and you are ready to beam up, aren't you?
Listen, this is pure today. This is pure. And let me tell you why. Started off the season 2-10. Brought back number zero. I won't say his name yet. Brought back number zero after a season last year where it was clear that it was a failed trade. And he should have been gone in the offseason. It did not work, and yet they brought him back. They brought in Patrick Beverley. They, you know, Kendrick Nunn came back. He didn't play all last year. He had a team that we knew from the jump wasn't good enough. You know, I thought maybe they might make a playoff run, but they were not good enough to compete.
Hold on. You said Kennedy Miller, and I had a tape. I have the tape. You said you thought with that roster, after free agency, you said if everybody's healthy, that's a top four team in the West.
Because I didn't believe in the other teams in the West. I did not believe in the other teams in the West. And, like, I mean, if we kind of want to be, like, they did deal with some injuries. But, again, it turned out to be a bad roster. They make the trades. They're 13th in the West at the time that they make the trades. I think 6 games under .500. And for now to look up and be 43-39, and everybody said, well, you made the play-in, like you're a play-in team. No, they're a playoff team, because if it had been how it was, you know, all the years that we've known it to be, they would have been in the playoffs. It wasn't like they were the 9th, 10th seed and got in the playoffs. They were the 7th seed. And they just won the first playoff game. Play-in game. So they're a playoff team. So to go from 2-10 to that, and the way they've done it, you know, you can talk about some of the competition they play, but they're a completely different roster. They're a more balanced roster. And they got a chance, man. Like, obviously, they have a really tough task in the first round, right? Like, the number two seed is not the number two seed for no reason. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But You've given yourself a fighter's chance to make some noise in the playoffs, and that's all you can ask for.
And I want to – can we give Adam Silver some credit for this doggone NBA play-in thing? Because I'm not going to lie to you. At the beginning, when they said they're going to roll this thing out, I'm like, this is, sounds like the dumbest thing ever. But dude, I think what's really given is like this, like, down-to-the-finish type of feel where people aren't just trying to intentionally lose. Well, I'm lying. People tried to intentionally lose to play the Sacramento Kings and get that 3-6 matchup. But, like, those teams in those, like, that 13, 12, 11 spot, they have an incentive not to just pack this thing in.
Right. Right?
And those teams at 7 and 8 have an incentive because you don't want to be in the play-in. You know what I'm saying? Right.
And it kept teams competing for longer. Like you said, it's obviously teams that were trying to lose. You've got teams that were going to tank, like the Pistons, the Rockets, the Spurs, all that stuff. But then you had teams that we thought would tank, like the Jazz, that basically fought until the final 2 weeks and then started resting guys. And, I mean, obviously we thought the Mavericks were going to be a playoff team, but they fell out. But you had teams like that 9 and 10 seed usually might try and tank too. But they had an opportunity to fight for a playing spot. So these last, like, 20 games have felt like playoff games to – 6 or 7 teams in the league, because every game was so important, especially in the Western Conference with how close it was. So it was just great to see, like, you could tell, like, meaningful basketball for this late in the regular season for teams trying to get in.
Absolutely. And I will say there's one thing I do want to note, like, watching those play-in games on Tuesday and Wednesday night, it was very obvious at times why all of these teams are here, because my God. And, like, it's like, yeah, y'all are trying to give this game away. And in the case of the Minnesota Timberwolves, they did, in fact, give the game away. And can I just start off by saying that at this point, I think that the Minnesota Timberwolves should just sell high on Karl Anthony Towns and trade him. Because I think it's clear this thing has failed for him and for Minnesota. Like, Cat has been in Minnesota for, this is year number 8. And they've had around him, the players around him have been Andrew Wiggins, Jimmy Butler, D'Angelo Russell, and that's his homeboy, Anthony Edwards, Mike Conley, and then they traded 4 ones, a pick swap, and 4 players for Rudy Gobert, and all they have to show for the Karl Anthony Towns experience is 2 trips to the first round for the number 1 pick. 2, it's clear he ain't the guy. Like, Ken, did you notice in Tuesday night's game who was guarding him at the end of the ball game?
Rudy Hachimura.
I was talking about in the fourth quarter, Austin Reeves.
Oh, yeah. They switch and get Reeves on him. Yeah.
And you mean to tell me your big 7 foot tall, 290, 300 pound self, they put Austin Reeves on you, and you do nothing. You're standing out there on the 3-point line like Maxi Kleber. Like, at this point, if you're 7 feet tall, and they put a dude who's 5 or 6 inches shorter than you on you, and you're still standing out there at the three-point line, what's the point of being 7 feet tall?
Yeah, so, I mean, my thing with Carl is, like, I think it kind of like how you put it, it's pretty much been determined he's not the guy, right? I think this is Anthony Edwards' team, and he also didn't play well on that Tuesday night. And they've got some learning to do, even bringing in, like, I feel like they tried to bring in Mike Conley to bring a veteran PG instead of, you know, D'Angelo Russell, one who can kind of steady the ship and to help out Rudy Gobert, who he was with in Utah. But that was a bad trade, for one, trading all those picks for Rudy Gobert. But I think that this Timberwolves team was actually gearing up to be pretty good before last week or 2 weeks before that. They lost Naz Reid, who was, like, having a really good year, like in my opinion, probably the best backup center in the league. Probably was going to get some – well, he probably still is going to get some money this summer. And Jalen McDaniels, at the last game of the season, you punch the wall, which ends up being concrete, and you break two of your fingers.
Yes.
Like he was the best defender on the team and probably one of the top 10 best defenders in the league this year. So you couple that around a young star in Anthony Edwards, whose team I do think it is. I think Carl Anthony Towns is a co-star. And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. He's a great three-point shooter, especially for somebody his size. But like you said, in a must-win game, Anthony Edwards is taking bad shots. He's got to be the one that said, okay, well, I've been to the playoffs twice. Like, I should know what it takes to win. And I got to be more aggressive. It don't matter if I got five fouls. And so you got to get in the post. If they're not going to double you, because it was one play where, like, LeBron was kind of standing over by him. Reeves wasn't guarding him. Hachimura was. And LeBron was kind of standing over, but he wasn't doubling. And he passed it out to Torian Prince, who threw it in the third row. if you're that guy, you got to say, okay, well, if you ain't going to double me, I got to go to work. You know what I mean? And I don't think he possesses that at all times. He's a really good talent. There's a reason he's the number one pick, right? But you can tell that this is not his team. And he's a co-star, which is fine.
And I don't really know whose team it actually is, because it ain't Carl's team. It can't be Anthony Edwards' team because he's a little too young. And Rudy Gobert show up, and it's clearly, obviously, it's not his team, according to Kyle Anderson. And I'm not going to front with you, my boy. I'm almost scared to know what would have happened if that punch would have connected. Like, Kyle Anderson on the chin. Because Rudy Gobert is a big man. Have you seen the size of his hands?
No, he's a big dude. He is a big dude.
And then it's like, at this point, what can you do? Right? Because you've dumped four ones, a pick swap, and four, you know, average rotation players for Rudy Gobert, and you didn't get any better. Like, you are in the same spot you were in last year in the play-in. Now, mind you, Carl Anthony Towns only played like 30 games.
Yeah. But
Rudy Gobert did not raise your ceiling.
No, he didn't. And as a matter of fact, they were better with him off the floor. Because, I mean, this experiment of just like going big is just, it's really tough to do, right? And you got to have the right pieces around the guys. And, you know, I kind of felt like they kind of got their stride without Carl because, I mean, now you just kind of got one big, which is kind of how everybody plays. Then Carl comes back and, you know, at one point they were the fifth or sixth seed. They were the fifth or sixth seed in the West and, you know, just kind of like everybody else in the Western Conference, just kind of like up and down with injuries. Like I said, Naz Reid breaks his wrist 2 weeks before the season is over. And then McDaniels does that. And then they lose some, like they lost to like Portland, like three or four games before the season was over, and Portland is resting everybody, like a terrible loss, which kind of put them on that second play-in game. And so I thought they had some pieces, man. Like, I felt like if they were fully healthy, like, I think Denver would beat them, but I think it would be really tough if they were to play Denver with that AC fully healthy.
And even – I'll say this. I got to disagree with you there, because even fully healthy, Carl Anthony Towns is still Carl Anthony Towns. And in the biggest moments of the game, like especially last postseason when they played Memphis, when they were blowing those – when they blew those two leads in those back-to-back games, in big moments where you needed to get a bucket, you had Carl – you had Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell dribbling the air out of the ball and taking bad shots, while Carl Anthony Towns stands in the corner. Like, there are too many moments in the game, feels invisible. Like you can legitimately forget he's out there. And do you know how hard it is to forget that a dude that's 7 feet tall, 300 pounds is on the court?
Yeah, I do think it's Ant's team. Like he's the future for that franchise. He's just young and he's still got some learning to do. And somebody made a good point. Like the way that the game is played now with this, like, you know, all this space in the regular season and people don't really like play defense really like every night like that. Like these young stars are having a tough time adjusting to when the playoffs come around. You really got to grind out victories. And like dudes are really guarding and it's really NBA basketball. And like Anthony Edwards just, I mean, he flat out settled too much. Like I'm a Lakers fan, so I was glad to see it. But you go 0-for-9 from the 3-point line, you ain't gonna go in the paint. I mean, you ain't gonna go in the paint at all. And it was a couple of times where like some of them were just like driving kicks, he was open, but some of them, bro, you could have drove that and you just settled for it like off the dribble, like you said, dribbling the air out the ball. And you could kind of tell, especially down the stretch, Minnesota was winning at the beginning of the game because they were moving the ball, getting out, playing with good pace. But at the end of the game, how many times you see the shot clock was low? Like they just started dribbling and a lot of people just started standing around. So it's easier to guard them in that situation. And, you know, I feel like they did kind of handicap themselves with this Rudy Gobert trade. I don't know what they're going to do, especially after that altercation. Like, do you keep them on the team? You just spent 4 first-round picks for him. And this experiment so far this year has failed, especially if they lose tomorrow. You didn't even make the playoffs.
So let's go to our predictions for the first round. You want to start on the Eastern Conference because I only legit think there are like maybe 2 good series in Eastern Conference. I think whoever Boston and Milwaukee plays, those are over in 5 games. We got on the same page with that one?
Yeah, I think, I don't know who's going to win out of that Heat Bulls play-in. I think the Bulls have more talent. I think the Heat, it's just going to be tough to beat Miami twice at home in a week for 2 different teams. But I do think, I agree with you, I think neither of those teams have enough to even compete with Milwaukee. So I have the Bucks in 5, Celtics and the Hawks. I think that's just a really bad matchup for the Hawks. And, you know, they got probably one of the best duos in the NBA. So, yeah, I got Celtics in 5 too.
All right, let's move to the Cleveland Cavaliers, who for the first time since we were toddlers, Kennedy Miller, are in the playoffs without LeBron James. They are playing the New York Knicks. Who you got?
I got the Cavs. I mean, I got the Cavs in series, honestly, might go 7. But I'll say 6 because I don't know how healthy Julius Randle is. But even with him fully 100%, this is like one of the worst teams he can match up with, right? Because they have Jared Allen and Evan Mobley down there. Like, and he's having a really good year, Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson. That turned out to be a really good pickup for the Mavs. I mean, for the Knicks from the Mavs. A lot of people kind of laughed at how much money they gave him, but I mean, it's turned out to work. And he's one of the better guards in the league, but I think Donovan Mitchell, man, he's a guy that shows up playoff time and he is a bucket getter. And a lot of people sleep on Darius Garland too. He can play. Like that backcourt they have is really good along with those 2 bigs that we just named. So I think it's just going to be really tough on New York, but I mean, they got Tom Thibodeau, they're going to compete. They're going to play hard like they always do. But I think Cleveland just has a little bit more talent.
And I will say this, Kennedy Miller, side note, is it just me or does Jalen Brunson look like Proposition Joe from The Wire?
Yes. Yes, he looks like Prop Joe.
Bro, like, I just looked at him the other day. I was like this. And all I heard in my ear was, like, I have a proposition for you. All I thought about. But getting back to it, like, I'm going to be real with you. I want good things to happen for the New York. I do. Like, I genuinely do. Like, they're one of those teams and one of those franchises. When they're up, this is better for the league. Like, when one of those flagship teams is doing well and playing well and has it together, and it's been rare in the last 25 years when the Knicks have had this together. Is this, like, the third or fourth time the Knicks have made the playoffs in, like, 15 years? or something like that?
Because I know, well, I mean,
like 2012 with like Melo, JR, Amari, and all of them. And
they made it 2013 too.
2012, 13, and then 2021.
Yeah, they. Yeah, because they lost to the Hawks when Trey went crazy in Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
I mean, it honestly is few and far between.
Yeah. So we got a team like that. And I think, like you said, they're going to play hard. They're going to play tough. Prop Joe is going to give them some buckets. You know what I mean? But, and I think you're right. I think you're right. I want the Knicks to win just because, you know, I want, like, you know, one of them New York Philly matchups or New York Boston matchups. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just feels, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it feels right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I think Cleveland, given the fact that they got two guys in the backcourt that can create their own buckets, which is real important in today's NBA. Now that they got that, I think Cleveland, I'm going to go Cleveland in six games because I think New York steals one in Cleveland, at least. I think they make it. So I think it's a really good series, comes down to the end. The 3-6 matchup, Philly and Brooklyn. Where are you going with that one?
Oh, I'm going Philly. And I'm competitive five games. But, you know, I think Brooklyn, you know, they did a good job with the Phoenix trade. And, you know, Mikal Bridges, Finney Smith, and Dinwiddie, like, those guys are all really good players. And Mikal Bridges has turned out to be a breakout player in Brooklyn. Like, he's balling. But, you know, they're going to make life tough on James Harden just because all those guys are kind of two-way players. They can switch, and, you know, they got a lot of length. They can give Harden some trouble, especially at this point in his career. But they don't have really any answer for Embiid. Like, Nick Claxton is a really good young player, but it's just not enough. And with the way that Embiid is playing this year, like, even if James Harden doesn't have the best series, they're going to get you out. Like, he's going to get you out the first round. And so I think that this will be in five games. Like I said, I think it'll be a competitive five. Brooklyn's going to play well, but Philadelphia is just – Embiid is just too much.
You know, one thing I was thinking about, as you mentioned, James Harden, we're not at the point in the playoffs where James Harden is going to completely just pee on himself. Like, typically this happens when James gets to the second round and then, you know, he goes out to Mercy one time too many, stays out too late and shows up hungover smelling like Hennessy. And then it's over. You know what I'm saying? But I will say this about James. James, because after last year, I thought James was done. You know what I'm saying? But even now, still, my big question for Philadelphia, and this is probably more for the next round, is can you trust James Harden? Like, my inclination says no. Like, when it really counts and the rubber meets the road, the answer is going to be no, right? But right now, I think as long as they don't have a soul that can guard Joel Embiid, like, Nick Claxton's going to put in the old college try, like you said. But
yeah, I just don't see it. And I think you're absolutely right. Like, as far as how far they can go, I think James Harden is an X factor. Like, you know, Maxey is like 21 years old, really good young player, one of my favorite young players in the league, probably one of the fastest players in the league. But, like, you know that he's going to have some great games, and you know that he's going to have some not so great games because he's still young. But, like, can James Harden be that second best player every night? Like, he led the league in assists this year. Like, props to him. But, like, in a game that you, like, Embiid's shot isn't falling and Maxey isn't playing well, can you count on James Harden at this point in his career to give you, like, a 25-point night and carry you one night when nobody else can make one? I'm not sure about it. I hope so, because I want to see Embiid go far, but I'm not sure.
Yo, it's wild to think about. Joel Embiid has never been out of the second round. Like, that is
wild.
A wild thing. Like, they had that crazy Kawhi shot in 2019. When Ben Simmons completely decided he doesn't want to play basketball anymore 2 years ago and last year. And also, like, with Philadelphia, Doc Rivers is their coach. So That's also another thing to where it's like this, hey, don't get a 3-1 lead, guys. Whatever you can do to not get a 3-1 lead, hey, let them win two games or something. Because you let a Doc Rivers team get a 3-1 lead, they don't know how to act.
Man, I hate that that's a crazy narrative around him, but it's happened too many times.
That it has. We're going to move to the Western Conference side of things. Let's go to the 2-7 matchup, the matchup you're so excited about, Kennedy Miller. All right, Kennedy Miller, I know you – look, I know you still have had that dope in your system. Come on. Come on and pick the Lakers. Come on.
Lakers in six. Lakers in six. Again, Memphis is a really good team. I want to say that they are the second youngest team in the playoffs, but the loss of Steven Adams and Brandon Clark is going to hurt them against the Lakers. Since the trade deadline, they're 25th in rebounding. And I just think it really will be kind of like a clash because it's really down. I think the X factors are Anthony Davis and Jaren Jackson. Like, who's going to outplay the other? Like, Anthony Davis, I think, has only played against him twice this year, but he's averaged 29 and 20. And you can't really look at the game. Like, they don't really have a good sample size to go off against each other because one of Anthony Davis, LeBron, or Ja has missed each game that they played in. So you don't really know what to expect. And then the Lakers got basically a new roster at the trade deadline. But I just think that the Lakers, and you might have to correct me if I'm wrong on this, I think that they're the only team in the NBA, well, in the playoffs, that have two top 10 players in the league.
We have to see who we consider top 10. Like, we got, like,
really. Yeah, like, and we'll go through that. But like, even if there are some questions, you know, like, it's only like two or three teams that have it. And so I just think because winning that game on Tuesday gives them a rest until Sunday. They don't play until Sunday. Then they don't play until Wednesday. Then I believe they don't play again until Saturday or Sunday. Like, they're getting like breaks between these games, which is great for the old team, right?
An old-bodied Anthony Davis.
But again, he's averaging 29 and 20 against them. And so if he comes to play and LeBron comes to play, which I believe they will, Ja's going to do his thing. He's going to ball. But again, this playoff game, it slows down. It's going to be some highlights, but you also have to shoot some jump shots too. And I think that they're going to do a really good job of trying to keep him out of the paint and make him beat them by being a jump shooter. And so then you're asking, okay, well, who's going to step up? Is it going to be Jaren Jackson, who is one of the league leaders in fouls, guarding one of the best bigs in the game? Is it going to be Desmond Bain? Is it going to be Dylan Brooks? We got to see.
So for me, I'm going to disagree with you there. I have to go Memphis in six games. And here's why. 9 out of 10 times, you're not going to get a team that starts off 2-10, detonates the roster at the trade deadline in an effort to make sure they make the play-in. And then, you know, they go around, you know, they make a deep run. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we would be betting on an outlier here, right? But I think a lot of people, you included Kennedy Miller, and you are not the only one, are regular parishioners at the Church of LeBron in Christ, okay? And because of that, like I always say, I can do all things through LeBron who strengthens me. That is the idea, and that is the thought process. And I promise you, I would have been with you if this was 2017, 2016, 2018. But we are asking 39-year-old LeBron James to do a whole lot, right? It's an old-bodied Anthony Davis to do a whole lot, because I am not sure what you're going to get from the rest of them dudes. I saw D'Angelo Russell the other night, and my God, he was cheeks. Capital C, capital H, capital E, capital E, K, S. Cheeks. All right? Like, you're asking a lot out of both of them, and we know LeBron still has that bad foot. All right? And this is one of those things, given his age, given the miles on his body, that thing can go at any moment. You know what I mean? And I just think there's the level of continuity that Memphis has with their rotations, with their players. Sure, they're going to be missing Clark and Steven Adams, but, you know, that continuity, I think, matters. That familiarity, I think, matters. Home court, I think, matters. I think for the Lakers to win this series, they're going to have to win two games on the road. Like, that's what I think it would take. And Memphis, that is a tough place to play. And I might be slightly biased because this is another one of those times I like good things to happen for certain teams. I want the Memphis Grizzlies to go far because after every game, I get to hear 20,000 people yell in unison, whoop that tree. I love it. I love it. And so I legit think Memphis in six. Now, if you can make NBA Youngboy take more jump shots, if you can keep him out of the paint, if you can make Dylan Brooks take bad shots, which he'll likely oblige, right? If you can do that, I think you've got a hell of a shot. But I think continuity, home court, and just, you know, going overall, just history and precedent, I got to go Memphis in six. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it's not like hasn't been a likely prediction for most people. I mean, they're the second seed, like I said, for a reason. They're a really good team, and they're one of the best defensive teams in the league. Like, these are probably two of the post All-Star break, probably two of the top five defensive teams in the league going against each other. And so, I mean, it is going to be like a class of the Titans. Like, we're going to see who's going to make it. And if Memphis does come out, I think that that's the series that really starts them from going to a real contender, because that's a real first round test.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So we're going to move to the 3-6 matchup, the Kangs and the Warriors. So maybe first, like, can I first just say, shout out to the Sacramento Kings. Okay, because the Kings have not been in the playoffs since T.I.'s What You Know About That was in the top 100. Like, when that was a bang, when ATL had just come out. That's the last time we have seen the Kings in the playoffs. So shout out to them boys. I think they're going to lose just because they ain't been here before. None of the players have been here before. And then there's just the big pure issue of y'all can't guard nobody. They cannot guard a soul. And the Warriors are getting Andrew Wiggins back. I question what his like conditioning is at this point, but I think I'm a Golden State in six. But like, my thing with Golden State right now is literally this thing is, I think they went almost 2 months without winning a road game between January and March. And I guess it kind of mystifies me in a way that a team that's won as much as they have, that's played as many big games as they have, I don't think they won 15 games on the road this year.
They're defending champs. That's the craziest part. But, you know, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You're good.
I have them in five. I have Golden State in five. Like, Sacramento has been a revelation this year. Mike Brown's done a heck of a job. That, in my opinion, is probably one of, if not the toughest place to play, just because Sacramento was always a crazy playoff atmosphere. But then, like, you couple not playing in there for 18 years, and now you playing in the playoffs for, like, after 18 years, it's going to be crazy in there. But, you know, Sacramento did all this to get the 3 seed, and then you play in the defending champs in the first round, right? Like, they didn't play well all year, especially on the road. But like you said, Andrew Wiggins is coming back. I think he's going to be on a minutes restriction in game one, like 20 to 25 minutes. But, like, they're getting Wiggins back. They got Gary Payton back about a month ago. Like, those are their two best defenders. Like, and again, the playoffs favors experienced teams. Like, it favors teams that have been there and they know how to win. It's a different type of game. And like you said, the Kings defense, you know, is not great. Like, they can outscore you and they can fill it up home or on the road. But Steph, Clay, Draymond, Looney, those dudes have won 3-4 championships together. Like, y'all ain't the toughest thing that they've seen. Like, they're going to be ready. And again, another team that they haven't played in a week. You're giving them a week to game plan for you. Like, it is going to be tough. And like, all these teams, like, everybody's like, oh, well, they can beat them. Yeah, you can beat somebody one game. They can win one game. But you asking somebody to beat them 4 times out of 7 in a span of 2 weeks, Those are some of the smartest dudes in the NBA. Steph Curry, Klay, Draymond, the way that they play. Draymond calling out people's sets and stuff. You don't think, like, they're going to be prepared. I think they're going to beat them in five. Competitive five. Sacramento's going to – it's going to be a probably one of the best series in the first round. But I think Golden State's just going to be too much.
And I think if Sacramento gets them boys running, Golden State could have a problem. You know,
oh, yeah, for sure.
We're talking about – and it's weird to think about. Steph and them boys is old. You know, like, I don't think we think of Steph as being old because he still looks like kind of young in the
35
years old. He's old. Like, we can definitively say that. And again, with a whole lot of miles on their bodies collectively, Klay Thompson got a repaired ACL and a repaired Achilles. Draymond Green, really old. And I think one of my big things with the Warriors is going to be this, man. Can they go another long playoff run getting nothing but putbacks and dunks from Kevon Looney and Draymond Green? Like, can they go a whole nother, like, full postseason run getting effectively no kind of offense from the two of them? You know what I mean? And especially because Draymond, he ain't shot no better this year. Mm-hmm. Like, all your shots going to have to be perimeter-based. Klay Thompson, can he hold up defensively? Jordan Poole, I think you're going to end up having to play Jordan Poole more. Like, I think we're at the point where Klay Thompson needs to be, like, might need to close the game on the bench.
I mean, honestly, it's a – I think that's going to be, like, depending on matchups, right? Because, like, although he's – you know, although he can give you 25 to 30, he's also going to give up, like, 25 to 30. And, like, you talk about game planning, like, teams are going to be going after – he's like another target. Like, obviously, teams already go after Steph, but teams definitely going to be going after Jordan Poole now too. So, like, and come push or shove, do you substitute defense for offense with Gary Payton? Because, in my opinion, he's one of the best perimeter defenders in the league, especially at his position. And so them getting him back was like a steal. You know what I mean? And then, like, you getting Wiggins back, like I said, that's your best wing defender. And so I just think, like, the road thing was real. They struggled on the road this year, but getting those two back and getting them right for the playoffs, and again, that continuity, like you talked about with Memphis, this team that actually had the continuity of going to the championship last year and just added DiVincenzo and Jermichael Green.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those things where it just feels so odd. Like,
it is.
The season that they've had. Like, it's, I feel like it's rare that the defending champions have looked this vulnerable. You know what I'm saying? Like, it feels just odd. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I can't think of a season where the defending champs look this vulnerable outside of that the year after Dallas won the title.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't feel the exact same way because I think we can say this, and I think this isn't like a blasphemous thought or a crazy thought. We haven't seen the team this dominant and have this type of run since Jordan's Bulls in the 90s. You know what I'm saying? So I think Golden State wins, but I think going forward, whoever they play in the second round, this is going to get tougher, much tougher for them. But having Wiggins back, this really helps them. Moving on to the 4-5 matchup, the Phoenix Suns and the LA Clippers.
Best series of the first round.
Ken, I'm going to let you start. Well, I'll say this. I wish Vince McMahon ran the NBA because there's no way Vince McMahon would have given us Suns Clippers. Vince McMahon would have given us Warriors Suns. Okay.
This is like I hate that this happened this way because this is like The Rock versus Stone Cold at like Backlash.
You know,
like,
yes.
It's like not at like WrestleMania, the Royal Rumble, SummerSlam. Like, you giving this to us like at No Way Out.
Or this is a basic Monday Night Raw.
Right. Just a basic Monday Night Raw. Like, these could possibly be, like, one of these teams is going to go home, and they could possibly be the second best team in the West. Whoever goes home. My prediction for it, because I don't know the health of Paul George. I don't know at what point when he will come back. I don't know if he will come back in the first round. I got Suns in seven. I got Suns in seven just because Kawhi's going to do his thing. KD's going to do his thing. Devin Booker's going to do his thing. That second score from the Clippers, I don't know what Russ is going to do. That second score from the Clippers is going to have to come by committee. I'm not sure I'm not sure if that'll be enough. Like, if it was Kawhi and PG, I might go Clippers in seven. But I know Phoenix hasn't played a lot of games together. They're 8-0. They haven't played a lot of games with Chris Paul, KD, and Devin Booker. But, man, when they play, they look good.
Bro.
They look good.
It looks nasty. And the wildest thing about Phoenix is when all four of them are on the court, you can't double A because you got Booker and KD on the wings. And Chris Paul at the controls. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
nuts.
I'm a big experienced guy in this time of the year. Like, Chris Paul, even though he's never won and he's had some bad moments, he's got playoff experience. KD has got playoff experience. Book has got playoff experience now. And I'm not saying those guys in the Clippers don't, but I mean, we've been saying it for the past 2 years. Do I trust Russell Westbrook in big game situations? Heck no. He's in a better spot. He's got more shooting around him. He can get downhill. But do I still trust him? No. I mean, Bones Highland, is he going to get any minutes? I don't know who the Clippers' primary playmaker is going to be. And if it's Kawhi, then you're asking an awful lot of a guy that, you know, and we talk about Anthony Davis, he's got a degenerative knee. Like, yeah. I mean, we asking a lot of him if he's going to be the primary playmaker. He's going to be the primary shot maker. Like, they're probably the deepest team in the league. But no PG, it's going to be really tough for them.
I think I'm going to have to agree with you. I'm going to go Suns in seven games because my assumption is when Paul George, when he got hurt, I was watching that game live on NBA League Pass, and it looked bad. It looked really bad. Like, I thought he blew a knee. And I think they said he's going to miss at least the start of the series. I don't know if the start means. The start could mean one game. The start could mean two. The start could mean three. We don't know, right? But I think, like you said, you're going to ask a whole lot out of Kawhi Leonard. And I will say this. Since Paul George has been out, the way this roster is constructed, sans Paul George, feels a lot like that 2019 roster Raptors team. You know, you got good big Zubac and Plumlee. Good wing players with, your Morrises, you got shot makers, shot creators like Eric Gordon, Bones Highland, they can create their own shot and get their own buckets. Of course, off the bench, Norman Powell, who it just feels odd to think about, Norman Powell can get his own buckets for himself. You know what I mean? But in addition to Kawhi Leonard having to be your number one shot creator, he also has to be your primary defender on Kevin Durant. Because I think they do have a guy. I mean, defensively, with all the wings that they've got, with, Batum, Morris, Robert Covington, if they want to use Robert Covington, and the rest of the guys that they've got the wings to defend them. But it's going to be, can they make enough shots? You know what I mean? And Kawhi Leonard being, it's wild. He's 50, 40, 90. He's going to have to give them 35 to 37 a night. And he's going to have to be, dominant. Kawhi Leonard's going to have to dominate.
Yeah, so two things to what you said. Like, the first thing, I totally agree with the Paul George, injury thing. Like, I was watching it, too. I thought he was done. And so, for them to say that he's coming back or could be coming back at some point in the series, well, okay, how is he going to be just thrown into the playoffs? You know what I mean? Like they always bring it up. How does a guy coming off injury just get thrown into the most, energy filled environment of the season? Like, is he going to be 100%? Is he going to be 80%, 75%? We don't know. And another thing with the Clippers is I'm interested to see, honestly, who they play as in their rotation, because the depth is good. The depth is always
crazy.
That'll get you through the regular season, right? But in the playoffs, rotations shrink. Like, you probably at most maybe going nine guys. So, I'm interested to see who he'll play, and if they get out of this round, who he'll play after that. Because, different matchups for different teams. But I'm a guy that likes Robert Covington a lot.
Yeah.
And, when PG was there, he wasn't really getting that much burn. Marcus Morris has been, in and out the lineup. So does he get back in the starting lineup? Is Plumlee still going to see backup minutes now that if Morris is back, or do you just go small with You know, you put Batum at the five, put Robert Covington at the four. I'm interested to see the things that Tyronn Lue tinkers with to try and, you know, combat the Suns. But I just think, you know, like you said, that offensive firepower with Chris Paul, one of the smartest dudes in the league, with D-Book and Kevin Durant on the wings, and you got a big like DeAndre Ayton rolling to the rim. And then you got a guy like Torrey Craig who's not going to fill up the stat sheet, but he's the do-it-all guarding the best player on the other side guy that every championship team needs.
And I will say this. That is the one thing about Phoenix where I think they are vulnerable.
Oh, yeah.
Defensively, because Devin Booker isn't really a defender. Kevin Durant at his age and given coming off the Achilles, coming with all the issues with his feet, he's not the defender. And Kevin Durant was never like a shutdown defender, but he was always a very capable defender. Given you're 7 feet tall, you're mobile, and you know, with the, you know what I mean? Chris Paul is old.
Yeah, you know he's not the defender he once was.
No, so I think they've got like, and the Clippers have guys that can just put the ball in the hole. So if the Clippers get rolling, get downhill, get in their sets, and you know, they play well, I think they got a shot. Russell Westbrook is going to be, I think, one of the keys. And that sounds crazy to think about.
I was just going to say that.
My thing is, can you play Russell Westbrook at the end of ball games? Like you said, it is a better fit for him playing with the Clippers than he was with the Lakers because you're not asking him to do as much. He doesn't have as much responsibility. And you got shooters he can give the ball to on a dribble handoff if they're sagging off too far. Like, so that works for him, right? But in the closing moments of a ball game, I, Alex Goodwin, would probably be more confident going with an Eric Gordon, a Terrence Mann, a Bones Highland, somebody like that, because I can't have people just sagging off and potentially trying to double Kawhi Leonard because they're not afraid of you shooting the basketball at all. I got to have a threat out there to shoot the ball.
Well, I loved what they did when they played the Lakers. What was that, a week or two ago? Russ came out, made like two threes, made a couple of jumpers, was like in his bag, right? And then he started turning the ball over a little bit. I think he airballed one, took some bad shots. Yeah. We barely saw Russ in the second half. He played 5 minutes. And that's the luxury that the Clippers can afford. Like, okay, like you gave us this spurt. You gave us like a 8 to 10 point lead in the first half. But now, like, as soon as you mess up, no, go and sit down. Terrence Mann, go back in. Eric Gordon, go back in. Like, we can close this game without you. And I do agree with you, though. He is the X factor in that series because, realistically, who are you going to ask to guard him, right? Like, Torrey Craig is your defensive stopper, right? So you probably put him on Kawhi. But he should be able to go around Chris Paul. He should be able to go around Devin Booker. You know what I mean? So who do you ask to stay in front of Russ when he's in the game? So he should really be causing a lot of havoc on the rim.
Even just being active, because that's one thing he is. Even if he's like
– absolutely.
His activity is one of those things that even if Russell Westbrook isn't shooting the ball well, he's always active. And, you know, I always got to give it to him. The dude plays hard. So, like, if he's active and impacts the game in other ways, not as much in terms of scoring, because I don't think that's what they really need from him. They just need a good, solid role player. And if he's that, and maybe sometimes if he gives them a little bit more, they've got a shot. I do think if the Clippers can get, this is going to be one of those, they need to win two games on the road to win this series. That's going to be one of those. And possibly if Paul George can come back, like, you know, just stem the tide. If this is 1-1 and he comes back in game three or 2-2 and he's back in game five, it's anybody's ball game. And I would tend to possibly lead towards the Clippers just on the continuity, great coaching, all that. But we got to move on. We're running up out of time here. We got to answer some fan questions and, you know, touch on some fan comments. So Maya has a comment, and she says, the only thing I want to see is a better-looking lady on Steph Curry's dad's arm.
Wow.
I'm not going to lie. I was thinking about that earlier. I was like, you know, are we going to do this whole playoff thing where we show Dale on one end of the arena and Sonya on the other end of the arena, and they're both Dr. Umar is going to be upset with both of them.
Man, I forgot all about that, honestly. I forgot about that entanglement that they had going on with those other two people. Man.
Hey, man. Look, Dale Curry.
Dale?
Dale knocking down threes. And Jasmine says, I need CP3 to get a ring. He's running out of time. Hey, yo, that just – hey, kid. Remember Casey and JoJo all the time during the morning show?
Man, time is slipping away from me. Yeah.
Hey, if legit, this may be his last chance.
I totally agree.
Because got to the finals in 2021 and Giannis went berserk. Last year, they just played the Mavericks in game seven and they just decided they didn't want to, they wanted to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And now this year, I think roster-wise, this is probably the best full team he's probably played on just in terms of talent, given Kevin Durant, Booker, all those other guys. But in his, in, like you said, it's wild to think about. This series, 4-5, may have the best team in the West. Like the two best
absolutely
teams. And this, one of them boys going to the crib.
This is a Western Conference Finals showdown, bro. Like it really is. And again, like you're the Suns, right? And you have this really good season, and your reward is playing the Clippers in the first round. Like that's nuts to me that this is going to happen in the first round. But like I said, this is the one matchup, you know, outside of the Lakers that I'm most excited to see, because I do think it's going to go seven games, and like it's going to be overreactions at each game, yeah, right? Like. Russell Westbrook can have 40 points the first game, and they say, well, Russ is going to be the reason that they win. Then he might have 8 turnovers, and Devin Booker might have 45. Oh, well, they're going to win. So yeah, I'm really just excited for playoff basketball, honestly, and the stakes are at the highest right now.
Absolutely, absolutely. We got one more fan question, and we're going to get up out of here. My man Stone asked, y'all boys still planning on doing the post-game streams for the NBA Finals like last year? Yes.
Absolutely.
We going to be locked in, tapped in. Hopefully, we don't have two teams that's on the West Coast. I mean, a team that's on the West Coast, because we be trying to get to bed early. We got places to be in the morning. So, we're going to be coming post-game live streams during the NBA Finals, during these NBA playoffs. We're going to be coming to you once a week on either Wednesday or Thursday night, 30 Central Time. Tap in with us. Because this is our favorite time of the sporting calendar. Just nothing but 40 days and 40 nights of straight playoff basketball. High-level basketball.
Absolutely.
So, we are out of time here on the Game Plan Podcast. Kennedy Miller, my boy, thank you for joining me. Where can the folks find you on Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff?
_KennedyMiller_ Again, that's _KennedyMiller_ I need the barcode scanner so y'all can scan and get all my info. But yeah, _KennedyMiller_
All right. All right. You can follow me on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. Again, that's on Twitter at AlexGoodwinTSM. That's T as in Tom, S as in Solomon Hill, M as in Mother. Yes, Kennedy Miller. I said S as in Solomon Hill, your favorite player. But you know what? Kennedy Miller, for your birthday, I'm going to get you a Solomon Hill jersey. That's what I'm going to do for you.
And I'm going to send it right back.
Oh, man. Wherever you're listening, wherever you're watching, and however you're watching and listening, thank you guys for watching and listening. For Kennedy Miller, my name is Alex Goodwin. This has been the Game Plan Podcast live stream. We will see you guys next time. Y'all take a light.